Well, hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Google Glass is a wearable computer. It's an eyeglass frame with an optical head-mounted display that lets you do everything from take photos and video to search the web, all with a nod of your head or a simple voice command. Some have described wearing Google Glass as experiencing augmented reality. With Google Glass, the world is literally in your face. But with great power comes great concern, both privacy-related and ethical. Recording without permission in public, potential face recognition software, a new kind of distraction while driving, cheating at gambling, all these and more have caused Google Glass to be banned in many places like banks, hospitals, and movie theaters. Google has addressed these concerns to lawmakers on Capitol Hill, and indeed, you know, there are many, Newt Gingrich and I think Nancy Pelosi and a bunch of others who have been wearing these. And so it would seem that Capitol Hill is on board, but there are still concerns from the private sector. Today, we want your take on these privacy concerns surrounding Google Glass and whether or not they're justified. Are we heading inevitably toward a future where reality is augmented at the cost of all privacy? Give us a call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also get in touch with us online. Okay, here are the ways, Alan Shartok, that we can connect online. Are you ready?
Okay, Kimosabi.
Okay, Alan Shartok, here it is. Now, I'll give you a little quiz here. You can post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of what website?
Check.
What website?
WAMC.
That's it. And what is the URL?
URL is you are lost.
WAMC.org/VoxPop.
Right.
You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on what social media page, Alan?
On the Facebook page.
That is correct. Yes. Ding, 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 ding. Facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, or you could email and that's your preferred method, yes?
For anybody over 65, that is the preferred method. That would include me. I can't hear myself.
Vox Pop, again, you can't hear yourself at all?
What headphones
do you have on?
Oh, that's what it is.
I have the wrong headphones on.
Okay,
how's that?
Much better.
Vox Pop.
I can hear again, I say.
VoxPop@WAMC.org is the email address, but we'd love you to call. Otherwise, it's going to be a long hour.
Oh, yeah. Well, people will call because people are socially concerned. WAMC members care, and I need them to call, and I'm putting out the word. Call, call, call.
All right. 1-800.
All right.
1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. So on the roundtable this morning, you, Ira Fussfeld, Rex Smith, and myself, well, we had a spirited conversation about Google Glass and where it's going. And I, you know, as the youngest one of the group, I think I was the most against all this leap in technology.
Well, it's a very interesting issue. You know, you cannot put the genie back in the bottle. But now, for all those people who don't know what we're talking about, you'll remember, you know, Dr. Spock and all of that. Those guys all had, especially in the second round of the Star Trek.
Mr. Spock. Yeah. Dr. Spock was a different baby doctor. Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Spock. Yes.
A different fella.
So anyway, so you get those little things that look like, you know, you have them around your eyes, and then wherever you go, you can immediately be transmitting to your own computer or to other people's computers.
On the internet.
So, for example, you said before, and it made great sense to me, that when you went into the when you went to strip club, I never have, but if you did, you would be banned. You couldn't bring that in there.
You would not. You would have to leave your glasses at the door.
Right.
Right.
Now, you know,
and do not touch the dancers.
I was thinking about this, Raymond.
Yeah.
You know, these glasses are not the only thing. You could have a little tiny thing on your widget on your button ear.
You make a great point. And the people who would say, you know, people would say, look, this is not out yet. This is nothing to be concerned about. And frankly, nothing you can do with Google Glass you can't already do with maybe a little more effort with an iPhone or a smartphone of some kind. So there is that point to be made.
But I'm concerned about something.
Okay.
And I am concerned about driving. All kidding aside.
Yeah.
Every time, we know this. We know that there is havoc, which is why state legislatures are passing no texting, you know, while you're driving.
Yeah.
Don't have your phone in your ear. But it's too late. I drive down the 787, the Freebie 90, as they call it.
Freebie 90, sure.
I look to my right. there's somebody talking on the phone. Yeah. I look to my left, there's somebody talking on the phone. I don't see anybody being, I don't think you put that genie back in the bottle, and I think this genie is going to be out. But every time you say, oh, all I got to do is press this little thing on my headband, my thing there, whatever you call it, and then every time somebody reaches to it, that's a distraction. And distractions, and the authorities know it, what kill people.
Well, so you're more concerned then with the driving safety issues than the potential privacy issues.
Well,
and
I don't mind if they're spying on you, but I would mind if they're spying on me.
Well, it's funny now. Congressman Rick Larson, Democrat of Washington, had this to say, and I think he makes a great deal of sense.
What did he say?
Transportation Committee member. He says, tech is getting way ahead of policymakers to fathom what are the implications. We're still dealing with the level of the gas tax. So my point earlier today was technology is getting way beyond what has been controls have been put in place. For instance, immediately upon Google Glass being released, and the number to call, by the way, is 800-348-2551. Immediately upon this demo, if you will, with a very limited number of people, a guy said, oh, I've created face recognition software.
Now, how does that fit in?
So, in other words, you look, just by looking at somebody,
you know their name.
You pull their data and their past and everything else. It's a little scary, don't you think?
Oh, boy. Well, I don't know that there's any way out of it.
Well, okay, let's go to the phones. Jules in Hillsdale. Jules, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I'm worried more at this point about, I mean, the privacy issue is definitely a concern, but about distraction and specifically with regard to Alan's comment on driving distraction. Now, you know, things like heads-up displays, something almost equivalent to Google Glass in terms of a pilot's visor have been used in the military for pilots for some time, but those guys are professionals. The information that's displayed in that display is pertinent to what the task they're doing at the time. They're concentrating specifically on that task. You put a pair of Google Glass on, you're in the car and you've got a news feed streaming, and all of a sudden there's an announcement, hey, breaking news, and now you're making a curve, blind curve, and you get distracted for a moment. What happens? That's the point I'm just concerned about, the visual distraction and the attention distraction, because definitely it's going to be there, worse than having a cell phone.
Now, you are, Jules, one of our greatest members, by the way, and a faithful correspondent. You have studied this kind of stuff, right?
Well, not specifically the distraction business. No. I mean, you know, but when I was working in the transportation industry with tolling and so on and so forth, we definitely looked at, you know, how to provide or how to make a or how to do technology in a minimally invasive in terms of driving distraction way. And in the car industry at the moment, all of the gadgetry that you're going to see coming into the cars in the next few years, the human factors element has been really carefully researched in terms of, you know, is it aiding the driver or is it distracting the driver? So,
does the driver want it or not? I mean,
well, that's the other point. I mean, can you opt out or are you stuck with it?
Yeah.
And what about GPS? I mean, I always found that to be, when you had to look at the GPS and it isn't talking to you, I always found that to be very distracting as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing is the human interface business in terms of a voice. Announcement of a GPS location rather than you diverting your eyes, or let's say if you look at things like lane departure signaling, where some of the car companies have tried experimenting with vibration in the seat, let's say left-hand side or right-hand side or whatever, to bring your attention to something that needs it immediately in the driving.
Sure, but what if GPS is wrong? I've seen it wrong.
Oh, yeah,
I was going
definitely.
Out to Amsterdam the other day, and it said stay in the extreme left lane.
Sent you to Holland.
Well, I thought I was in the river.
Well, it's the software. The GPS is, in terms of the stuff that the gadget receives, is quite accurate. In terms of what it does with an interpretation or how it places it on a map, you know, that's the software side of it, and garbage in, garbage out, it's always been.
So, Jules, in the end, I need your help here.
Okay.
Yes or no? What should we do about this? I mean, what's to be done?
Well, I would definitely restrict it in terms of driving. I would not allow it for driving at this point.
All right. Well, thanks, Jules, a lot. We appreciate
Jules
the call.
Is terrific.
You know, our great producer, Jessica Marshall, printed out a list
Jessica Blaustein Marshall.
Correct.
From in the NPR style, three names.
You must have three names with many syllables if you're going to work for an NPR station.
Sure.
Top 10 places that have banned Google Glass. Number 10, banks and ATMs.
Oh, boy.
Makes sense,
that makes
right?
sense, yeah.
Sports arenas, concert venues. In other words, people don't like, artists don't like their concerts being videoed. But if you go to YouTube, any artist you choose, there'll be somebody who held their iPhone up or their
sure.
smartphone.
What do they do with that? They just put it online?
They just put it online. Yeah. Usually the quality stinks. Yeah. Locker rooms, dressing rooms, movie theaters, cinema owners very concerned
locker
about pirating
yeah,
and the movie houses, the makers of the movies. Cars, of course. Now, I think there are already a few states that are looking at or have already said, no, you can't wear these when you drive.
No.
Hospitals. Now, that's another interesting one. Patient confidentiality.
Sure.
A big deal.
And, along with face recognition, that could be devastating.
Classrooms would be number four on the list, I suppose. I'm not sure. I guess students goofing off. They have enough.
Or students looking at teachers who don't want to be looked at.
Okay. Number three is we mentioned strip clubs. Number two.
Wait a second. You went over that very quickly. Strip clubs. Okay.
Well, I mean.
Okay. All right. I got
you,
it.
You understand yeah. why, right?
And now I do.
Number two would be casinos. Now, there are various ways to cheat at cards and whatnot. That would be.
Card counting.
One way. Sure. And then bars is number one, surprisingly enough.
Why?
I don't know. It says here, according to this article from Search Engine Journal, the owner of the Five Point Cafe in Seattle was almost ahead of everyone when it banned Google Glass back in March. Of course, this made headlines at that time. After all, isn't it common for those getting their drink to snap a lot of pictures on their smartphones and send them out? But it appears that this particular bar was just looking, you know, to protect customers from just people who would cause havoc by taking their pictures and sending it out and doing all sorts of nasty things.
Sure.
Zachary, the engineer, let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll get back to the phones at Vox Pop.
And Diana and Fred and John.
Right you are, Chief. 800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more, where eyewear is an art. Facebook or visionexceleyecare.com. The Pirates Lakeside Grill at Nassau Lake, featuring grass-fed organic beef and six hot dogs from local to old world makers, Thursday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m., piratelakesidegrill.com. Skidmore College Master's Program, a part-time graduate degree program customized for individual students with interdisciplinary interest, MALS at skidmore.edu. Step Up presents Brian Wilson and Jeff Beck with Al Jardine and David Marks, October 8th, 8 p.m. at Palace Theater in Albany. Tickets available Friday at noon, Ticketmaster or the Palace Box Office, 518-465-4663. Vertex Sales and Design in the A&P Plaza, Pleasant Valley, New York. Offering custom designs and installation of kitchens, bathrooms, and renovations, a new kitchen in 7days.com. In the Studio for Art and Craft, Main Street, Cobleskill, Paint Pottery, Bead Store, and Glass Studio, hosting classes, summer camps, and parties, the Studio for Art and Craft.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC, Northeast Public Radio, 22 minutes after 2 o'clock. Alan Chartok and Ray Graff with you on Vox Pop. We talk about...
Let me just say that I'm in the second seat today. Yesterday I was in the first seat.
Okay.
So,
do you want to switch?
No.
Okay.
So if anybody's frustrated that, you know, you're being rushed along...
Oh, it's my fault.
Yes.
Well, all right. I think you've come around the third time on that comment, so we're just going to go right back to the phones. Diana in Rhinebeck, you're on. Diana.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to ask Ray something. You said at the top of the program, Ray, that Washington was on board with
some on Capitol Hill.
Well, because Nancy and Newt were wearing the prototypes, I agree that Washington has shown no will to restrict really far out moves of American business, I wonder if that is really an indication, or do you have some other information that Washington will have no problem with any of this?
Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that there are, for instance, there have been pictures. If you look around Google or one of those, you'll find Michelle Bachmann with them on.
That's before the hue, before it's released for the public.
Absolutely.
For the public.
Absolutely
and I think
right.
There's going to be a hue and cry.
I hope that there is an ample discussion. And seeing what Rick Larson of Washington said, you know, about being a bit concerned about technology getting ahead of the implications, you know, maybe they will take a step back. I mean, we will certainly see.
I wanted to say
and
something.
I think what we can do about this is keep this up and let people have their especially negative opinions heard, because we need to do something about this sooner rather than later. Once Google gets it on the market to everybody, it's going to be very hard to have it withdrawn.
Can't put the genie back in the bottle. There's only one thing I have to say. It brings me back to the Satellites for Music Out of This World, my band from when I was much younger.
Yeah.
And that is Oh, Diana.
Oh.
Remember the song?
Sure, okay. Sure.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting discussion. Thank you both.
Until hey, that.
Thanks a lot, Diana. All right there, buddy. Let's go to Fred and Hurley. Fred, you're on.
Hello. How you doing, Ray? Hi, Alan. Hey. I'm finding that there seems to be like an interesting synchronicity as far as regarding the distraction while driving situation, which is that, you know, now they're inventing cars that drive themselves, which they are actually using in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the meantime, you know, so are we going to be freed up to, like, you know, bide our time? And also, you know, as far as these cars are concerned, you know, are they going to be forcing us to do the speed limits and all of that kind of thing? You know what I mean? It's like, because everybody goes 10 miles over the speed limit on the throughways and at least, and, you know, and everybody's always racing to go home.
Yeah.
And then,
I don't understand what you mean by synchronicity in this case. I mean,
it's happening at the same time. You know,
science marches on.
Yes. So,
like it or not.
Yes. And so, I'm sorry.
No. I'm just going to say that you can be sure that the transportation people and the federal bureaucracies are going to be adding up all of the reasons people got into crashes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to find out, as they do with the cell phones, this is it.
Yes. I think in general, people who crash at high speeds crash on themselves more or less, or they're driving vehicles that are essentially unsafe or overloaded.
All right.
And, you know, I mean, there's that kind of factor as far as crashes are concerned, as far as speed-related crashes are concerned.
Sure.
You know, people.
They can add all this stuff up. They know what they're doing.
All right, let me ask you a question, Fred. These, and we don't know what these will cost when they hit the market. So far, you know, the select couple of thousand or few thousand people who have these are the so-called explorers.
They have to pay $1,500.
But yeah. I saw somewhere, and I don't know if it's true, but these are going to come in around $300. Fred, do you see yourself, and I'll ask every caller.
Sure, ask me too.
Do you see yourself getting one and using one?
One of these glasses?
Yeah.
I can barely function with what I'm dealing with already.
I'm with you there.
I mean, it's like I'm still learning this iPhone thing.
All right.
I'm on the slow end of the curve kind of thing, you know. So.
Me too. What about you, Alan?
Oh, I definitely am not going to get one, but my boy Jonas, who's now 38,
yeah,
he'll get one. He gets every single one.
Gadget?
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll tell you if it's worth it.
No, he'll tell me it's worth it, and it won't be.
Fred, thanks a lot. 1-800-34. I hope Jonas is not listening.
He does listen.
1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Google Glass, is it for you? Are you scared of the privacy issues? Will you get one? Are you an explorer? Do you have one now? We'd love to hear from you at 1-800-348-2551. John in the town of Glen, you're on. John.
John in the town of Glen?
John Glen.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, guys. Ray, give me a couple of specific examples of how I would use these.
Well, okay. Now, remember that I'm not one of the explorers. Not that they didn't say, hey, listen, would you like to pony up $1,500? It's just that I don't have $1,500. But this is from Politico, and maybe this will describe it for you a little better. Two paragraphs. The revolutionary eyewear, which looks something from a Star Wars costume party, allows users to take video, mm-hmm. shoot photos, or surf the web. It requires only a tap or voice command. Glass wearers, and they look sort of like a half a bifocal, I suppose, on one eye. Glass wearers can stream what they see. They could walk through a museum and stream it onto other people's computers real time. The company has turned out several thousands of these to explorers to test the device. $1,500. And they're not out to the public yet.
Oh, I've changed my mind.
What?
I'm going to get one.
Why?
Well, because my memory isn't that good. And so what happens is I'm walking down the street.
Yeah.
And these people come up and say, Alan, Alan, how are you, Alan? And I go, great, great, how are you?
What's your name? So you need the facial recognition software.
And I'll just press the button. It'll say John Striguli.
Yeah.
I'll say, John, long time no see.
You could get a teleprompter program that'll just tell you what to say as well. Hello, how are you?
Or you could get your wife, who could whisper in your ear the guy's name.
Well, what do you think now, John?
Right, let's go back to you. If I'm driving, wearing these, how would I use it going down the highway?
Well, I do not have one, but from what I have seen, you have the lower portion of one eye covered with, you know, as you would have a pince-nez glasses.
Pince-nez.
And you can look over the top, as you would a bifocal, you would look over the top of that and see out in front of you. But it seems to me to be a scary proposition to drive with it.
Yeah.
Well, sure, you've just restricted half your vision, or you've restricted half your vision.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is, could I see my GPS on these?
Probably.
Yeah.
I would assume.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So you're going to get one, John?
Well,
you'll be the first in the town of Glenn.
Wrong. Okay.
Well, you never answered the question. Are you going to get one?
No.
Okay.
Okay, that's it. That's definitive.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. If I go into a gambling casino,
yeah,
what is the harm to the casino?
Okay, well, here's a scam that can be used and has been used by people trying to cheat. If you are playing, for instance, blackjack, you could have somebody looking there, counting the cards, relaying that information to somebody else.
Yeah. Okay,
or if you were playing poker, you could be standing over the back of somebody playing and feeding that.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
Yeah, so there you go.
Okay, got it. So, okay, how about why are hospitals against it?
I know why. Because
patient privacy.
Yeah. HIPAA. They take that very seriously.
How about banks? What's their problem with it?
You go look over somebody's
ATM,
at the ATM.
And you get their code or whatnot?
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
yep.
Okay, we got to go now.
Hey,
guys.
John, thanks a lot. We appreciate the call. It's Nick in Newburgh. Nick, you're on.
NNN.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
As a parent, I'm a parent of a 1.5-year-old, and me and my partner have a lot of discussions about kind of privacy and these things. I'm a little more up to date on it than she is just because of our work schedules and stuff. But when I see things like Google Glass, you know, not to mention, you know, Facebook and all that jazz, I kind of wonder, you know, what is the parent's role, you think? I mean, I personally have been following, like, you know, the NSA, you know, debacle recently, and, you know, I kind of looked at her and said, like, you know, I was kind of right. You know, maybe we should, like, pay attention to this stuff more. And, you know, I vehemently tell people, you know, I don't want pictures of my kid on the internet.
Sure.
He's going to have to deal with it. Later on, he's going to have to deal with that himself. But for now, it's like, what right do I have? But when I think about these things, you know, Google Glass, like, Lord only knows where it's going to go after that. And, you know, driving while using it, you know, that's a concern. You know, just like texting. I've seen bus drivers with a bus full of kids texting.
Yeah.
Before,
absolutely.
And I lament not getting to report them and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do as a parent, you know, because I'm sure there's going to be more than Google Glass coming that's going to kind of compromise all these things.
Yeah.
And I think that's a concern that should be raised. You know, kids don't know how to use that. They don't have a concept of, you know, privacy or reputation and all that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Rex Smith this morning said, ultimately this is going to be a chip in your head, which will record everything, which you can then download. Hey, Nick, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to John in Hudson. John, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Just actually listening to the last caller there, you know, it's very true because it breaks through everybody's privacy. But the other thing that occurred to me is that once all this data is captured digitally, it's available to be to be discovered by the NSA because it's now digital data.
They already have it. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, they do, but they're just getting. They'll just
that
be adding more
Forget
and more
it.
To
okay.
it. Yeah,
Great.
Yeah, right.
Got
okay,
it.
I get it, Alan. I get it. But the other thing is, by the way, I learned something new the other day from my 20-year-old son who's in art school. And his comment was, You know those people that wear those Google Glass things that are doing the experiment? I said, I don't think it's going to go very far. I said, why not? He said, they're already calling them glass holes.
They are. That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
He's allowed to say that, Alan. Alan looked a little concerned, but you are allowed to say that on the radio. And
yeah, because it begins with a G, so that's all right.
Right you are, but, John.
Okay, John.
Yeah, all right. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Yes, and we
didn't know where that was going.
I saw it in the article, but I chose not to bring it up.
You handled it very well.
Thank you very much. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Of course, when Google comes out with contact lenses, then we're really in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Then
you won't even know.
It's
inevitable.
It's frightening. You know what? The hyper-connectedness of everything and everyone is unnatural.
It is. And staying ahead of this is going to be very hard, in all honesty. It takes a real sort of social genius to be able to do it like Jor-El.
From Superman?
Superman's father, who put the baby into the rocket ship, you'll remember, as his planet was going down the drain.
So are you suggesting that the Earth is going down the drain?
Well, yeah.
Okay, back to the phones we go. It's Bill in South Hook. Bill, you're on.
Hey. I love listening to, what you're talking about here.
Oh, good.
I'd like to give just an idea here. You know, we're looking at for abuse. And again, one thing that was coming up was that if someone is really intent on doing something wrong, not having Google glasses is not going to stop them. But there's also potential for real use. Now, I work with computers all the time, and debugging a critical performance problem, you always need one more screen to monitor, or like air traffic control. You know, they can divert their attention and get just so much more critical information right when they need it. And I think Google Glass is going to be a way that can be used.
You could be right.
You know, and the other abilities that are going to come out of this, we just don't know. I keep on thinking back to like a Luthiers magazine, and they were discussing
the Luthier, the maker of violins or guitars.
Stringed instruments.
Yeah, stringed instruments, yeah. Luthier.
Exactly. Now, the question came
also
up there.
Also from Superman.
Did the Stradivarius and the Cremona violins, they were a much more powerful instrument. Was that invented because of a need, or was that invented and then the need came afterwards?
No, need. Need.
To fill the concert hall?
Need. There's no question
about
it. Yeah.
Actually, it wasn't until a couple hundred years later that they had these killer violin concertos that came up. So now the instrument was here, and now the potential for the use came out a couple hundred years later.
I like what you're saying. I'm not sure I agree with all of it, but now will you get one when you get a chance?
No,
Bill?
If it's reasonable, and if I have a contract engagement where something's going to be useful, yeah, I'll definitely try it.
No. He didn't mean would you get a Google Glass. He meant would you get a Stradivarius.
No, that's not what I meant, Alan.
Oh, nobody can afford those now.
That's correct. Bill, thank you very much. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. And Annika in Vermont, you're on.
Hi, this is Annika.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I can't deal with any of this crap. I don't understand how people have the money to spend. It's like, I'm just trying to, buy food for my kids.
Well, I understand that, but go down the street and see how many.
I mean, I go to Barnes & Noble, and I, actually, read books and newspapers and buy books and newspapers because I don't really understand why people are so enamored. My daughter, 22, she lives on her phone.
Yeah.
I think she just got an iPhone. I have a good friend who has twin four-year-olds. She lives on her phone, too.
Can't you
pay attention to your four-year-old children? No, you have to live on your phone and not pay attention to your own children who are right there.
But I don't want to get involved in a family fight.
But no, she makes a point. This happens a lot, and this is a problem in
society. People do not live in reality anymore.
Well,
I don't understand. And I see so many people driving around here. It's extremely dangerous.
It's
They're driving around our little roundabout in Winooski, which is, unto itself that they put in a roundabout and hasn't improved the traffic flow at all.
Okay.
I see so many people driving, talking on their cell phones.
Yeah. Annika, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. There is that problem, Alan.
Which is what?
And her, in other words, many people and many people that you know, many people that I know, and I've been guilty of it at times myself.
Yeah.
You're there. You're in a real world situation. Things are happening around you. Perhaps it's a family function and you're on your iPhone.
Guess what?
What?
It's the new reality.
It's
the new reality. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not.
It does indeed matter.
Why is that?
Because if I am aware of it,
yes,
and I don't like it, I can change my behavior, and perhaps everyone else can take a step back and say, you know what? The physical world goes on around us
fat
as well.
Fat chance.
All right. 1-800-348-2551. That's Alan Shartok. Alan@WAMC.org if you'd like to get in touch. It's Vox Pop, 1-800-348-2551. We taketh a break, and we'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Molly Cantor Pottery Studio and Gallery, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Featuring pottery with images of plants, animals, and New England life, offering clay classes and gift certificates, mollycantor.com. Maria College, Albany, offering RN Baccalaureate Completion Program, Associate Degrees and Professional Certificate Programs, day, evening, weekend, and online classes, aspire, achieve, become, mariacollege.edu. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Fulton Landing, New York, presenting the Round the Lake Challenge, providing 30 missions to explore Lake George, lglc.org. Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival. This week, Overtigo Dance and the Quebec Contemporary Music Society collaborating for a contemporary piece to drumming by Steve Reich. Through August 11th, jacobspillow.org. Medical Associates of the Hudson Valley, Kingston. Physicians providing health care and primary care, infectious diseases and more, in-office and hospital care, mahv.net. And WAMC's Spotlight on Underwriters, this month featuring news about Union College and Vertex Sales and Design, online at wamc.org.
one 800 348 2551 is the telephone number. It's Vox Pop. Alan Shartok is here. I'm Ray Graff. We talk Google Glass and the march of technology. Where will it end?
It'll be great. So, for example, the next person you're going to call on is Phyllis from Rhinebeck, and I have a hell of a question to ask her.
All right. Well, Phyllis, you're on. Alan has a question for you.
Oh, what's the question?
Ah, that's the way I look at it usually.
When Chelsea got married, remember down there in Rhinebeck?
Yes.
You could have had those glasses on
and put out
the whole thing to the whole world.
They collected all of the cell phones at that wedding.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, everybody had to turn in their cell phone in order to go to the wedding.
Wow. Oh, boy. Oh,
I didn't go to the wedding, but that's what I heard. I think they had like a laundry basket. Everybody had to put the cell phone
in. Were you invited?
No, but this is what I heard.
Okay.
What I object to is that, to me, it's like a portable surveillance system. Because I take the Kingston-Rhinecliff Bridge, and I can see these cameras as I'm going across the bridge. They're, you know, taking photographs of me going across the bridge.
Yeah.
And now everybody who's got a pair of glasses is going to be like a portable camera.
That's right.
Yeah, it connected to a database.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Big Brother.
Worldwide.
Mobility now, you know. He isn't just in a room somewhere. He's
Well, think about this, though. Think about this, Phyllis. What about when somebody does something bad, a crook comes along, and you've got all these eyes out there? How long can it be before we get the guy?
Well, the crooks will be, you know, smashing the glasses and blinding people, you know, to keep them from recording these things.
Interesting. Phyllis, thank you very much.
Phyllis.
Appreciate the call. It's 1-800-348-2551. We go to Jerry in Schenectady. Jerry, you're on Vox Pop.
All right. Hi, Ray. Hi, Alan.
Hey.
What bothers me is that a lot of this, these things aren't the result of people deciding that privacy is a bad thing and that there shouldn't be any privacy anymore, with the exception in the efforts of counterterrorism and trying to fight crime. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's primarily the plain and simple desire of the technology industry to make more money.
You bet.
They don't consider or even care about the wider implications of their inventions or their products. And I think it's irresponsible.
Well, it is. But, you know, export that thinking to these guys who have billions. They couldn't spend it for the rest of their lives. They've got grandchildren who are going to live in a world, you know, filled with smog and pollutants and the rest of it. Do they care? No. Same thing.
No, they don't. And so much of cultural change lately is happening with little conscious decision making. It's just too spontaneous and random.
You are on the money.
All right.
Now, is there anything about Schenectady that makes you say any of this?
No, I don't. No, nothing particular about what I personally observe in my day-to-day life there. But
thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call. It's 1-800-348-2551, the telephone number. And, Grace in Ashley Falls, Mass. Grace, you're on.
Amazing.
Hi.
Hi.
Is Alan there?
He is here.
Okay.
Yeah, there he is.
Well, I want to talk to him. Shall I talk now?
Yes.
Okay, Alan, hi. Grace Brown from Ashley Falls, Massachusetts.
You know
where that is.
I do indeed. Next door neighbors.
So I said, let's look on the bright side. People said this about the telephone. Oh, it's going to be terrible.
Right.
We have to go forward. And I think there could be a lot of good can come out of this because I have just gotten a new camera.
Uh-huh.
I cannot work. It is absolutely giving me a fit. And I thought, oh, if only I had a little something I could press on my forehead and take a picture of my cat or my baby or whatever, that I want to catch something in action fast. And so, that's what this could do.
Yep.
Terrific. I would make a comment, but she didn't want to talk to me. But Grace, thanks a lot.
Yeah, I will talk to you.
I appreciate it very much.
Bye, Grace.
Okay, like your show.
Thank you, dear.
Thank
you very much. See, no one wants to talk to me. Terrence in Albany. Terrence, you're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, I don't think the Google Glass is going to be, like, the worst thing in the world. I don't think it's going to be absolutely necessary, but it does have some benefits, like if they issue them to police officers or, referees at pro sporting events. I think it can give a closer look at anything.
Interesting. So how would you do it in a sporting event?
You scan the crowd. You're worried about terrorists and stuff like that.
No, if you're a referee, I mean.
Oh, if you're a referee?
Isn't that what you meant?
Yeah. Well, if you're...
it's a sideline.
Okay.
Yeah.
You record it.
Which one?
You're going to record it, and then you can go the instant replay and see whether the guy really did the proper hammerlock.
Right.
The hammerlock. Terrence, thanks a lot for the call. The hammerlock?
Yeah, hammerlock. It's a wet wrestling move.
I see. I didn't know you were a wrestler. 1-800-348.
In high school, I happened to be on the wrestling team.
Really?
Yeah. On the very bantamweight.
I'll be darned. You know, this is something that hasn't even come up during a fun drive. But
I know. I didn't know. I didn't remember it.
Now
you had to have a sport. Mine was wrestling.
Good for you.
Before that, it was fencing.
Fencing?
Yeah, fencing.
One person who should not have a sharp object in his hand is Alan Shardock. But let's go to Craig in Walker Valley. Craig, you're on.
Hi. First of all, I wanted to take and refer you to a book on this topic that was written just a couple of years ago. It's called The Transparent Society by science and science fiction author David Brin.
Mm-hmm.
His stuff is always very interesting. And he's been writing online about technology and privacy issues for quite some time.
Okay,
now.
So cut to the chase and give us the topic sentence. In other words, you know, Eisenhower wanted it all in one paragraph. What did he say? Hello? What's his point? You said you're referring us to it. Now I want to know what it is that he's advancing. What's he putting out there?
I myself have not actually read it yet.
Fair enough.
It's on my stack.
All right, what's the guy's name?
David Brin, B-R-I-N.
All right, we'll check it out. Hey, Craig, thanks a lot for listening. 1-800-348-2551. A little harsh, don't you think?
Me?
Yeah. You're yelling at the callers.
I wasn't yelling at them. I just wanted to know. I thought it was a perfectly appropriate. Okay, let's parse this.
Okay.
Very quickly. He calls up.
Okay.
And he says, I would refer you to the guy's work.
Right.
I say, that's interesting. Now, what about basically is the guy saying?
Yeah.
Is it the demise of capitalism? Is it that our privacy has made us into less than a human being? No. What he said, and I apologize because I for any embarrassment that I may have caused.
Embarrassment?
Saying,
no.
Well, embarrassment saying, okay, so what's his topic sentence?
Yeah, well.
I didn't read it yet.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go to Peter in San Francisco. Are you really in San Francisco, Peter?
I really am. I grew up in the North Country, though, and I listen to WAMC on my iPhone streaming from.
Way to go!
Excellent. Now, are you in a cable car having Rice-A-Roni right now?
And number one?
Unfortunately, I'm not. That's not exactly how we all live out here. But
do you pay up?
All right.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to tell you guys, I have actually used Google Glass.
Ooh,
so
what do you think?
It might be of some resource to you.
Yeah, what do you think about it?
I think it's pretty interesting. I think it has a lot of promise. The current generation, the pre-beta, whatever they're in right now, doesn't have a whole lot of function, but I can definitely see that growing. But to a caller, I think it was John from Glenn, maybe, earlier called.
John Glenn.
And wanted to know what it looked like. And actually, when you wear it, the screen is in the upper right quadrant of your view. So you actually have to look up and to the right, and the screen itself is transparent. It's projected onto it like a transparent mirror, basically, or kind of like a prism.
Yeah.
So you can you see the screen, and you also see through it at the same time. That's not to say that I would ever think that it would be safe to use while driving, because when you're driving, you don't often want to look up and to the right.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to see much.
Is it a full-color display, Peter?
It's a full-color display, yes.
And where is the CCU? And is it in the
It's in the earpiece. So, like, the part that goes back to your right ear is a little bit thicker than what you would normally see on a pair of glasses. And inside that, it has all the sensors, the antennas, and the CPU.
Phenomenal. That's amazing. But, I mean, do you see any use for this facial recognition technology that somebody immediately came up with some third-party software?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's definitely somewhere where this could go. I know that in the Play Store, where Google hosts the apps that you can download onto Android devices, computers, and the glass, that they have actually banned facial recognition software.
Yeah, they have.
Of course,
yep.
Doesn't mean that people can't make it themselves and put it on themselves.
Right.
That's dangerous. But you know, I could run that on my cell phone.
But
you
I was
know,
thinking, I was
pretty
thinking
much everything else you can do. You know, and also the battery life isn't so great in these. So if I went into a movie theater and wanted to record a movie,
yeah,
I could maybe get a few minutes of it. So
well, they'll figure
until,
that
until there's some yeah until there's some advances in battery technology, that's not going to be.
But I was thinking of something. You know how when you're on the Freebie 90 and a guy cuts you off.
It's been a while since I've driven in there, but yeah, I can picture that.
See what I mean? And somebody cuts you off because they're crazy,
right?
And goes boom. You could actually record that. That would be one pro driving
thing. Exactly. Yeah. You just had a caller mention that the ability to record something like, you know, your child or an event like that or a crime in progress very easily and quickly without having to do
Whoa.
Much at all, it could be major benefits.
Wow.
Also, I work with deaf and hard of hearing people out here in the Bay Area, and I see huge benefits for disabled populations for this. Mm. Specifically with deaf and hard of hearing people, I work as a sign language interpreter. A lot of times there aren't enough interpreters around, or there is an interpreter when one is needed. You could use a feature like Google Hangouts, where you can have a video conversation with somebody using glass, so the deaf person using glass could be in the place where they need an interpreter, start a Google Hangout with me in my home, and I could hear what the hearing person is saying
Nice.
Over the internal mic on the glass, and I could be a sign language interpreter in the little field of view on the Google Glass display, and that deaf person would then have communication access.
Well,
they
Peter,
they could
thank
also have text-to-speech. Yeah, so there's lots of good benefits that could come of this.
What a great call, and thank you so much for giving us that hands-on user perspective.
It's nice to know you're out there.
Yeah, thanks.
Very important.
Yeah, but I'm still listening to you guys.
Okay, great.
Appreciate
thanks, Peter.
The call. Let's go over to Tom in New Paltz. Tom, you're on.
Hi, gentlemen. I just wanted to ask you quickly if you thought this was a conflict at all. I was driving down the Atlantic City Expressway, and there was billboards up, and most of them were stationary pictures that are changed every month. They're big 20x40 billboards. There was a couple of them, though, that actually were videos, and there were public service messages, and there was a picture of a bank robber, his height, a picture of him, his weight. And I'm reading this thing about the bank robber while I'm driving down. And, you know, the 5-inch by 3-inch screen, you know, which is banned, which it should be, I agree. But I found a conflict with me looking at this 40x20 billboard that had all of these video messages to all the drivers. And I didn't see that. I saw a conflict there. Do you see that or no?
I agree that these can be real problems. You know, in New York State, for years since I've been able to drive, which has been, you know, 32 or 3 years now, the New York State historical markers, they're so darn interesting.
Yeah.
I've almost driven off the road reading
them. Remember when Lady Bird tried to get all those things off the side of the road?
No.
Yeah, Lady Bird had a big thing. That's Lyndon Johnson's wife for all of you children, and that was her big thing to clean up and get those signs off the side of the road.
That was her big cause.
That was and wildflowers.
And Alan, I wanted to ask you: when you wrestled, you never took steroids, did you?
No.
Okay.
No, and anybody who saw a picture of me at the time would know that.
Although he is on the human growth hormone now, it's working out quite well for him. He's really
bulking
up.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks, Tom. We appreciate the call, wise guy. It's Jeff in LaGrangeville. Jeff, you're on.
Thanks, guys. You know, I haven't used the Google Glasses. I've been listening to your program with interest. But my beef is people that just have have decided now that taking pictures in a non-public area is perfectly acceptable.
Sure.
You know, if you go to an event and you've paid your entry fee and you're at that event, I happen to do social dancing. All of a sudden, everybody has decided that you should be free content, and they can put it on their Facebook pages and do this and that and whatever with it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, what do you mean social dancing, like the foxtrot and the tango and things?
Well, actually, I do the Argentine tango.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sure.
The interesting thing is that if you're in Buenos Aires,
yeah,
the tango venues are the places where people go to meet people of the opposite sex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they don't want their spouses to know about that.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, so, that is a big concern.
So
that's
if you
a big
show
concern.
Up with a, if you show up with a camera, they throw you out. Now,
good.
Here in New York, it's a different situation. These people on the dance floor seem to be somehow fulfilled by having a camera pointed at them, and
well,
the organizers just think this is fine.
Sure.
And I just think it's really intrusive.
Well, I'm with
you.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan of this idea of enabling people to be able to record
no.
us any more than we already are.
Okay.
But I don't know what I can do to stop it.
Well,
write your legislator.
Jeff, thanks a lot. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Interesting conversations today, eh?
Oh, boy. Everybody's really good.
Let's go to Nick in Schenectady. Nick, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I was concerned about the privacy issue with the Google Glasses. It seemed to me if you were in a casino or you own a casino or a hospital or anything, there's some way in the system that you could opt out of Google. Say, if you buy coordinates, the Google Glasses won't work.
I'm sure somebody will figure that out.
So, in other words, a way to block it, like they would block cell phones or things like that.
If you could block cell phones, if you're in a vehicle on a highway traveling more than 5 miles an hour, the cell phones won't work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Why can't you, solve the privacy issue that way?
Well,
I'm sure they're going to work on that. Let's go over to Paul in Massachusetts. Paul, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to make the point that technology is always going to advance. I mean, we can't turn anything back or shut anything off. As human beings, we've always solved all our problems with technological advances, and I think it's just a question of doing right or doing wrong, and there's always going to be two approaches to that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, go ahead.
Well, I just have one specific point rather than a general point. In regard to the Google Glass and driving, while we're talking about this, they're devising cars that are going to drive themselves. So there
absolutely.
You go.
Absolutely. No, and by the way,
there will be no problem. Google will probably own both of them.
And Bobby, you're probably right. And one other thing that I can just say about that, and that is it may well be the death of FM radio. Because most people listen in their cars, and when you can't do that anymore, that would be a true tragedy. And then when that happens, you turn around, swivel around, the car's going where it needs to be, and you watch television.
But you're really an alarmist.
You watch bad television. What?
We have video here, so we're okay, right, boss?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have the video at WAMC.org.
We got the horse right here.
And you can just watch us, and I got to say, it's as boring as paint drying, but we're here.
I don't think that's true. How can you say that about yourself?
Hey, I wasn't saying it about myself. Hey, Paul, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good one. I was not saying it about myself, sir.
I think anybody who came, who watched us on video, just go to WMC.org and do that.
Wave at the
camera. It's a little bit of a delay.
Well, I can fix that.
Well, fix it.
Every now and then, you have to reboot the machine.
Uh-huh.
You see, there's a little buffer in there, and the buffer gets full. And then
I know is it's unsatisfactory.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what, Zach? We're going to fix it. I'm going to come in there into the control room as soon as the show is over, and we're going to make it satisfactory for Alan. All right?
Yeah, because sometimes when I'm on from an undisclosed location and I'm trying to fit in, it's too late because it's whatever's gone by. And I can't see if you put your hand on your head with the sign and then, Alan is out of his mind.
Oh,
and then I can't see it because it comes up later.
Well, I mean,
I can't hold you responsible.
You can pretty much be sure that I'm doing that. It doesn't
pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's been fun. Thanks to everybody.
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow is another program, and it's another Vox Pop show.
Stump the band.
You dirty. Support comes from the Nature Conservancy's Adirondack chapter, working to protect ecologically important lands and waters of the Adirondacks for nature and people. Nature.org/Adirondacks. United Way of the Greater Capital Region, Albany, New York. Investing in education, financial stability, and health. United Way, GCR.org. Laurie Stillwell, CPA, PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. Berkshire Museum, Pittsfield, Paperworks, the art and science of an extraordinary material featuring works of art and paper by more than 35 contemporary artists, historic objects and artifacts through October 27th. BerkshireMuseum.org. Let's see. No, it's not on the script. So
did
I don't know.
Thank
what,
everybody.
I don't know what's happening tomorrow. Thanks again for joining us. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamc.org/voxpop. Thanks to Zachary T. Malloy, our engineer. He did a heck of a good job. Phones answered by Brandon Holmes. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. That's Alan Chartok. Say goodbye, Alan.
Alan Seth Chartok.
Alan Seth Chartok.
As long as we're going to do three names.
All right, fair enough. And on that happy note, we'll be done.